Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
They swore a pact to the devil. They said, "We will serve you if you'll get us free from the French." The devil said, "Okay, it's a deal." And they kicked the French out. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other.
You're dealing with a God who, judicially speaking, is a little crazy. This is like night court. He's just going and dismissing cases left and right.
What role does faith play in your life right now?
It's everything. It's everything. I mean, I grew up as a preacher's son. My father was a preacher for 50 years. Calling myself a God-fearing man, I got to read this book.
I guess you could say I got a little out of control. I dropped 400 grand on a bar mitzvah for my son. He's 9! And we're Lutherans!
The way Jesus is usually depicted in Sunday school material, the traditional stuff, you know, is... Well, this is Jesus who's kind of president of the class. I mean, he never really encounters any serious opposition. For some reason, is crucified at the end of his career. I always wondered about that because Jesus, in typical Sunday school lessons, is a popular guy. He's well-liked by everyone. Those who don't like him, well, they're kind of over there in the corner, twisting their mustaches, dressed in dark clothes, but... The gospel depiction of Jesus and his ministry is not one of success and not one of popularity, perhaps at first, but then very early on, there's a lot of opposition. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday, January the 19th, with our regular guest, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, today. Jesus at home, rejected by his own. A little bit later in the program, Pastor Richard Nuffel will join us. We'll talk with him about hands-on training for the pastoral ministry. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Tuesday afternoon, January the 19th, after our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen and Pastor Richard Nuffel. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest in the second hour. We'll talk about that new survey out on the economics of marriage. Women better educated than their husbands, sometimes better paid than their husbands. Quite a role reversal. We'll see what it means for marriage as a social institution. Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us later in the second hour. We'll talk about the discovery. The discovery was about a year ago, and now they've had a chance to look at it. The earliest known example of Hebrew writing from the time of David's kingdom. We'll see what it's all about. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. ETC. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Concordia has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hello, it's good to be back on this January day. How are you, Pastor?
I'm doing well. And how is the family doing?
Oh, they're all doing well. Everyone in his little world, two kids off at college and one in eighth grade, and as you might imagine, when the two older ones go away, the younger one gets a moment to shine, and so we're really getting to know our baby.
That is precisely the way it is. It really is.
Yeah.
My daughter started college today, which is, golly. I mean, she hasn't left home. She's still at home, which is where I want to keep her forever, but... I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that and thinking about myself walking out the door going to college at the same age with the same distance between myself and my daughter as there is between my dad and me, and I thought he knew everything, and I had absolutely nothing.
Yeah. it does give you a moment to pause when you see your children growing up, and then when they begin to teach you things that you didn't know. They come home from their foray into the world and learning, and it's fun. it's a different relationship and a wonderful one that you have with them.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot better than changing diapers. That wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I'm glad those days are gone.
Well, speaking of the ones that are a little smaller, and I'm sure you had this experience too. When I was in Sunday school, Jesus was depicted. For some reason, he gets crucified at the end of his messianic career. But up until that point, he's depicted as a very popular guy, well-liked by everyone, except for those nasty Pharisees. And yet, today we're going to deal with very early rejection of Jesus mm-hmm. by those he grew up with.
Yes, this is an interesting story, and I don't know, I haven't really checked to see if it makes it in the top hit list of Sunday school lessons that are taught, but it is in our curriculum because it's an important story, and it lines up with the gospel reading, I think, for this Sunday in the three-year series. And you're right, so often we get this friendly, great guy, buddy Jesus, who does good miracles and great teachings and all of that. And crowds come and people swoon, I suppose. But that isn't always how it is. And this story is a good one for children to hear and to understand. It's a Bible story that looks back a little and points forward a little. And that's a good thing to bring out to our students this week, especially the older ones who can kind of understand the perspective of what happened first and what happens later. But you have Jesus here going back to his hometown. This is right on the heels of his temptation out in the wilderness, and he's returning in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and he goes up to Nazareth, and it says here very clearly where he'd been brought up. He's known there. It's not a big place. He's well known, and it says, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read, and he was handed a scroll to read, of course, Old Testament, and it was Isaiah 61, and he reads it and rolls it up and gives it back and sits down, which is, I think, a little surprising, perhaps, because he was sort of like a guest rabbi or guest teacher coming into that synagogue, and they might have expected him to expound a bit on what he read. But he rolls it up and sits down, and everyone, it says, their eyes were fixed on him. And then all we know of what he said is this beautiful few words. Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And then it says, they all spoke well of him and marveled at his gracious words coming from his mouth. And isn't this Joseph's son? Now they're trying to remember who he is and whose family he's from, and probably a little local pride. And then Jesus stops them and says, you know, you're likely to speak this proverb, "Physician, heal yourself." And you heard what was done in Capernaum. Do it here in your hometown as well. He's expecting them to make good back home, just like they've heard he's done all over with miracles and teachings and things like that. And he takes this time to point out that his work and his ministry is not just for his people, but for those beyond. Particularly, he takes this opportunity to talk about Gentiles, pointing out some Old Testament stories that they're well familiar with. And that sets them off. They're upset. They run him out of the synagogue and drive him out of town, and they want to throw him off a hill. But he passes through their midst, little miracle there, gets away from them, and that's the end of the story.
So what is the basic point here? Because this isn't the last time Jesus is going to encounter this kind of rejection.
No. I think when you look at what he says and you look at this reading, kind of significant. Of course, they handed him the scripture, and he read from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In his reading of this scripture, they're not expecting it. When he says, this has been fulfilled today in your hearing, he's making the statement, this is talking about me. I'm the Savior. I'm the one. He was anointed, as you and I talked about, was it last week, with the baptism of Jesus, or maybe the week before, when the Holy Spirit descended and the Word of God said, this is my Son. Listen to him. And that's his anointing. That was the start of his ministry. And Jesus here is now acknowledging, you know, that this is who this is about. It's about me. I've been anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captives. And here he's talking, isn't he, Pastor, about captive, those captive to sin, those who don't know how to get out of sin and death on their own, who don't know their Lord. And in all of his works, all of these signs, the miracles, the teachings, all of it is about giving them an epiphany experience, opening their eyes to who he is and why he's come. And it really is part of his journey. This rejection here is a little foretaste of what he will experience much later in his ministry when he enters Jerusalem and ultimately is condemned to die on the cross.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about Jesus rejected at Nazareth on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us with questions or comments right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. We'll be right back, talk more about Jesus' rejection, and pick up right where Pam left off. This is leading toward the cross. The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Today, Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. In about 10 minutes, Pastor Richard Neufer will join us. We're going to talk about hands-on training for the pastoral ministry. That's necessary. Pam, before the break, you were saying that all of this is really anticipating and leading up to the cross, and this seems a more direct route than sometimes in other Sunday school lessons, where the drawing the line between the dots is a little more difficult. This one would seem a little easier to impress upon the minds of the children who are being taught how his road to the cross begins at the very beginning.
Yes, it really does. At the very beginning, and we talked about those stories and at his birth and the Herod being against him, and here now, very early in his ministry, really just after his baptism and his temptation, that already he's setting people off because he is speaking the truth. He is clarifying and opening eyes and ears to God's word and to God's plan for salvation, and it's not what people expect. It's not what they've been planning to hear. It's not what they want to hear, and they're set off by it. And particularly here in his hometown, they're expecting the hometown boy to come back and do even bigger and greater things for them in their midst, as they've heard he's done, and some of them maybe have even witnessed in other places. And he really turns it on their ear, as he just is going to keep doing all through his ministry on the way to the cross. Who expects that the Son of God saves the people that he's come to save by dying on the cross? Who expects this? It's always the unexpected, and this is one of those early times for that. And he tries to help them see by recalling these two Old Testament stories, Elijah with the widow of Zarephath, and also Elisha with Naaman the Syrian. Both of these people were not part of the chosen Israelites. They weren't part of that chosen people, but they were cared for by God and his prophets. Naaman healed of his leprosy, the widow getting what she needed from Elijah in the time of the famine. And he brings these things out to make the point that he's not come just for his own, just for his people in Nazareth or for the Jews, but for all people, he's this Messiah, this Savior. And they don't like it. They don't expect to hear this sort of thing from the Savior they thought they were going to get.
Okay. Is this going to be... is this going to be rightly read as kind of a direct... fulfillment of what John says at the beginning of his gospel when he says he came to his own and his own did not receive him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a very simple way of reading it, but is there more to it than that?
Well, his own here in Nazareth do not receive him, but his own people, and John is talking there about those who had been given the promise, the children of Israel, all the way through and been given all the prophecies, all the miracles, those are his own. Those are the ones who should have known and recognized him and who didn't believe, and who, the descendants of whom still today, look past Jesus, still waiting and wondering for a different Savior. He's talking about hometown people here, but John's talking about in a much greater respect. And I think it's an interesting thing to help our children in Sunday school begin to understand this lesson about Jesus and who he is, because there's so much false preaching and teaching. All the televangelists and the people that go around and preaching prosperity gospel and things like that. We can help children to not look to what they might think God's going to do or what they might expect him to do, but to read the word and understand that God works in different ways, in ways that are better for us. And all of this going on here, and at the end of this lesson, they want to kill him, and he escapes. And there's a reason for that, as we're going to hear throughout these years of his ministry that we study. It's not yet his time. It's not time for him to die. He will die, but when God appoints it, not when man appoints it. And that's another interesting part of this. And the other thing, this truly, truly, I say to you, and Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. And he speaks that little proverb. But to teach children this week about that little phrase, because they're going to hear that often too as they walk through the Gospels and follow Jesus' life to the cross, truly, truly, I say to you, amen, amen, it shall be so. This is truly the way it is. And so you want to teach the children to perk up their ears when they read that in the Scriptures. These are most certainly true words, and we want to listen and pay attention to them when Jesus speaks them.
Kathy is listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, too, if we could also talk to the children about how they can see how this happened in the past, where his own forsook him, the people of the town, and then later the Israelite people, but how that we can see this happening in the church today, where the cross is often taken out of the church. Christ of the cross is often forsaken for Christ as our friend or Christ as our guide, but not Christ, the man who died, the God-man who died for our sins. So I think it would be good to also bring that up to the kids so they could heed that warning for themselves and their families as well.
Kathy, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And it gets back to the first question you posed, Todd, with that we don't want to talk about these kind of difficult or negative stories about Jesus. And we do, of course, talk about him on the cross at least once a year because, well, it did happen. But so often we are afraid, or our culture, the culture of American Christianity, wants to play down anything like that. And we can all talk about Jesus as our buddy, our friend, a miracle worker, all those things. But Jesus on the cross, as Scripture tells us, is a stumbling block. And we should help children to see that that is where it matters. We preach Christ crucified. And I would encourage you Sunday school teachers, if you have a little classroom altar, to have a crucifix, not just a cross, an empty cross, but a crucifix for the children to see. And not for gruesomeness, but to keep them mindful that it was by his death and his suffering that our sins are paid for, and that we have eternal life and forgiveness. That is so important, especially in this culture of buddy Jesus, wonderful, clean, sparkling hero Jesus. He was a hero, but his heroic act was on the cross for us.
An email from David in Kansas City with only about 30 seconds to respond. David says, as I read the narrative under discussion, I get the impression Luke is putting his hearers in the place of the people in Nazareth. How do we teach it to particularly younger students so that they are put in the same place as the hearers in Nazareth, according to both law and gospel? About 30 seconds, Pam.
Wow. Well, the younger children, I think you have to teach this story and just run through the story with them and then talk about hearing God's word and talk about how we don't want to, and kids get that. They don't want to listen. They don't want to pay attention in church. Maybe it seems boring to them, and the law is that we're supposed to hear his word, gladly hear and learn it, and the gospel in that is that word is life-giving, and that word has power, and it is in that we poor sinners are given good news, that we captive ones to sin are set free and given liberty, eternal liberty. We are oppressed by sin, and we have our oppression lifted. And this is the year of the Lord's favor, not just once every 50 years as in the Old Testament Jubilee, but all the time we live in that Jubilee year, the year of God's favor, forgiveness, life, and salvation. And that's the gospel that comes through that word that sometimes little ears find so boring and uninteresting. We got to help them to see and trust the word to work in their hearts.
With only a few seconds here, next week we'll be discussing the healing of Jesus. What is in store for next time?
Next week we've got just Jesus healing many, and we're going to talk about several different instances of his miraculous power, again, to help people see who he is and why he's come. So we'll look at a couple healing stories there, or instances.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. Concordia Publishing House will send you free samples of Growing in Christ. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks, Pam.
Thank you. Have a great week.
When we come back, we'll talk about hands-on training for the pastoral ministry. Stay tuned. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
It's an interview I'll never forget. I recently sat down with Abby Johnson, the former director of a Texas Planned Parenthood abortion mill. Seeing an abortion through ultrasound changed Abby's life forever. She left Planned Parenthood and became pro-life. She and I talked about her journey in an incredibly revealing interview. Abby talks about being pressured to get more women abortion customers because that's where the money is. You can hear more from Abby in my Sanctity of Life half-hour radio special. It'll be aired on Christian stations throughout the nation around the January anniversary of Roe v. Wade and Sanctity of Life Sunday. Check with your local station for airing time. Abby confirmed what we've long believed about the abortion industry. It's not about choice for women. It's all about the money.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.